How do you do? If you like mysteries, the challenge of unlocking secrets, of digging into hidden things that may hold treasure, then you'll appreciate the following story of a man who discovered a mystery that was kept secret since the world began. A secret that he shares openly and frequently, because his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, dramatizing true life stories produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. There's a certain conformity to the homeless, the wariness of rejection, the shabby clothes, the tiredness from sleeping wherever. Staff at Pacific Garden Mission have seen it all because many have been there themselves. The old lighthouse has been a haven to desperate people since 1877, thanks to friends who send financial gifts to keep the doors open day and night. Today, the mission offers nourishing meals, fresh clothing, and a safe bunk for the night to hundreds of men, women, and children. Pastors and counselors share the good news that changes lives. Many of the mission guests drink in the truth, the living water that they were created for a greater purpose than wandering the highways and byways. And those who receive the truth turn their lives in a new direction. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3182 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hey, Turner! Haven't seen you in ages.
Yeah, I was laid up recovering from hernia surgery, Benny.
You look good to go, man.
I am.
Well, come on then. Let's go have a drink.
Well, first, you go to church with me, then we'll talk about it.
Church? You're kidding. When pigs fly.
Hello?
Lane, I just called to let you know that Benny has terminal cancer.
Benny? Well, I just saw him not long ago. He didn't say anything about it.
I think he just found out. He's only got 6 months to live.
I'll go by and talk to him.
An ordinary expression of concern. But the man in our story was anything but ordinary. He was a peculiar treasure being paid out to others. This is the true testimony of Lane Turner, right now on Unshackled.
I had my own construction company in Harrisonburg, Virginia, where I'd grown up. The middle of three sons on a farm, I was 45 years old, still unmarried, when I turned from a life of partying and uncertainty to the certainty of Christ. Though I didn't know much about my new faith, I went to see my cousin, Angela, who, like Benny, was also dying of cancer.
Thanks for coming to see me, Lane.
I wanted to tell you about some changes in my life.
Something happened?
Yes. I've been going to church. I hadn't gone for 20 years, but I found one that teaches the Bible. Things I didn't know, like Jesus died for our sins. Did you know that?
I knew he was crucified.
For us. Somehow I never realized that.
What does that matter now?
Jesus is the Son of God, so he can save you if you ask him to.
The Son of God? You believe that?
Yes.
Why?
Because he died on the cross, and he rose from the dead on the third day. Nobody's ever come back from the dead but Jesus. I could tell she didn't have long to live, but I didn't know what else to say and left without asking her to make a commitment. I was facing my own surgery, and as the day drew near, I wondered what would happen to me if I died on the operating table. I had prayed, but the scriptures concerning salvation filled my heart and mind. I didn't understand it all. I wanted peace about death, but didn't have it. I continued reading my Bible and attending church services. The day before my surgery, I went for a bike ride after church. It was April and very windy. I was riding into a strong headwind, and the more I rode, the stronger the wind blew. I felt as if I wasn't getting anywhere. And suddenly, I realized that this was the way I lived my life, going against the wind. I had done many things that I knew were wrong, but did them anyway. And where did they get me? Nowhere. I started crying out loud. I cried out, "Lord, now I understand. I can't take this anymore. Please, come into my life and forgive me of my sins and take over." A sensation flooded through me. Then I remembered the word of Jesus as he spoke with Nicodemus. He said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit."
Hello?
Hey, Lee. I'm born again.
Born again? When did that happen?
Yesterday. Now I know without a doubt where I'll spend eternity.
You do sound a lot more confident now.
I had a real encounter with the Lord while I was riding my bike. I was riding into the wind and realized that's what I've been doing all my life without him.
I tried to tell you that for years.
I'll tell you this. It's a lot easier riding with the wind at your back than in your face.
Amen. There's a verse in Isaiah that talks about how thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward.
I love God's word.
Me too.
Will you be at the hospital tomorrow for my surgery?
You're not worried, are you?
No, not anymore.
Wasn't as bad as you thought, was it?
I never felt as good as I did the day before surgery. No worries at all.
You were smiling when they wheeled you out of the operating room.
I know that to live is Christ and to die is gain.
What brought on all the soul searching yesterday?
Well, I got to thinking about my life. What have I done? Nothing. I have no wife or children to be remembered by.
Your life isn't over, Lane.
No, it's more than half gone.
I'm glad you're both here.
Hi, Mom.
How did it go, son?
Just fine.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
I have sad news. Your cousin Angela died this morning.
Oh, I tried to tell her about Jesus, but I don't know if she came to Christ.
God lets us choose, Lane. You did your part.
I couldn't work for a week after my surgery, so I spent the time reading my Bible. I felt like I was another disciple, as if Jesus was talking to me as I read. I went to every worship service, every Bible study I could find. I even went with my brother to the Bible study at his fellowship until they took a break. A couple of months? I can't go a couple of months without some kind of Bible study. I'll dry up.
Well, why don't you take a class at the local university? They have a seminary.
How can I go to a seminary? I've never even been to college.
It doesn't matter, Lane. I saw an ad in the paper that said you can audit a class without getting credit. You still have to pay, but no credit.
Well, I'm curious about what it takes to be a pastor.
Taking a class is a good way to find out.
But I barely got through high school.
You didn't care then. The Lord has changed you, Lane.
You're right. I'll give it a try. Hello?
Well, how'd it go?
Not great.
What happened?
The class is on the Gospel of John. And the teacher asked a question. Why did Jesus say that a prophet has no honor in his own country? Nobody responded. So I said, because he was Mary and Joseph's son and he was a carpenter. And they didn't see him as anything special.
Sounds right to me.
Well, some other guy said something else, and the professor seemed to like his answer better, and I felt like a fool. I didn't say anything else the rest of the class.
Don't be so sensitive, Lane.
I left there determined to never go back.
Still feel that way?
No. On the way home, I apologized to the Lord for my prodigal heart. I felt terrible, but I got out my Bible to look up where I went wrong.
God's ways are not our ways, Lane. Just obey him and follow the Lord.
I opened the Bible right to Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, where Jesus is talking about repentance. And he says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes.
You are anything but a babe.
Well, Anyway, I'm going back. I never missed a class after that, although I didn't always see things the way the other students did, as I later told my mother.
Thanks for helping me with my work, Lane.
Not a problem, Mom.
I don't want to make you late for your class.
That class is finished. I'm just doing a men's weekly prayer breakfast now.
Sounds interesting.
It is. One morning the pastor couldn't make it, and the men were going to leave till I said, the least we can do is read the devotional.
So you did?
Yeah. They asked me to read it, so I did.
I'm proud of you, Lane. The Lord has certainly changed you.
I've learned that the Lord reveals His truths to us in different degrees, sometimes with a different focus, Mom.
I suppose He does.
Look at the Gospels. Only John records that Judas was a thief. Only Luke records that of the two thieves hanging on the cross, only one realized that Jesus is the Son of God and He was being crucified between them.
Different witnesses remember different things, too.
The important thing is to preach the gospel. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Little did I know that my insights would soon be put to the test.
We'll hear more about Lane in just a moment. We get emails like this one. I just moved, and I love Unshackled, so please help me find a station near my new location. Or this man who writes, when traveling, I rely heavily on your website's radio log data to advise me of the nearest station. So if you move or travel a lot and don't want to miss any of these dramatic programs, visit our website, unshackled.org, and click on Radio Log to learn where in the world Unshackled is broadcast, in which language, as well as the day and times. It's all there, and you'll be amazed at the breadth of coverage. If you prefer a printed copy of our Radio Log, small enough to carry, write and ask for our radio station guide that lists all the stations that carry this broadcast both domestically and internationally. Our guide is easy to use and organized alphabetically. Write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
As I studied the Bible, I struggled with what Jesus said about loving your neighbor as yourself. How could I love others when I didn't think that I loved myself? I'd been ridiculed so much by classmates when I was younger, but God's love changed even that as I read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28 to 30. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
Wow.
I had read that verse before, but this time God showed me that I did love myself. I was still unmarried because I considered myself unworthy of any girl I met. In high school, I dated a girl, but when she went out with a football player, I decided she'd be better off with him than with me. That's how I always felt. My insecurity and lack of confidence had led to the loss of my first bid when I started my construction business. But as I learned about God's kind of sacrificial love, I gained confidence.
Hey, I just came by to congratulate you, Lane.
On what?
By getting a bid to build the deck for Robert.
Yeah, he decided I could do the job.
Well, you're vindicated after losing the previous job he wanted done.
He was right. I didn't show enough confidence then. But I've learned a lot in the past couple of years.
Yeah, you've done quite a few construction jobs, and you know, all of them turned out all right.
Well, I mean, I've learned a lot about confidence by teaching God's word. Who would believe me if I didn't believe God myself? But I do believe Him. And that gives me the confidence to tell others.
Man, you're growing by leaps and bounds.
A church called and asked me to speak one night, so I prayed about it, and I felt the Lord wanted me to give my testimony.
Can't go wrong if you give your testimony.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
How'd it go?
Okay, but I sure was glad when it was over.
You may end up preaching yet.
The worst thing imaginable happened. They asked me to come back.
Well, you can't give your testimony twice.
No, but I can give them the word of God.
That's right. His word is the answer for everything.
So that's what I've done ever since. When I'm asked to speak, I share God's word. And God has blessed me with the right words to say. After we finished the deck for the man who had once given a construction job to someone else, that man asked me to build a house for him. Then came a series of challenges, because whatever you learn on the mountaintop of life, God will test in the valley. My dad had an aneurysm.
The doctors don't think he'll make it, Lane.
He's a good man, and a great dad. And even though he's not saved, he attended church services with us if he wasn't working.
I worshiped the Lord while I was with Dad this morning. I told him the biblical account of Jesus and his disciples caught in a storm on the lake. And the disciples thought they were going to die. Jesus calmed the storm by saying, "Peace, be still." I told him that Jesus will calm any storm in his heart, too, when he puts his trust in Christ. He is the Prince of Peace.
I'll talk to Dad about the Lord when I visit with him this evening. Dad, the Bible tells the story of Lazarus, a friend of Jesus who died and was laid in a tomb. And 4 days later, Jesus arrived and said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And then Jesus went to the tomb and told him to roll away the stone and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And the Bible says, he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. There were many witnesses to this miracle, Dad. Now only God can raise the dead to life. Dad, do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God? My dad, an 86-year-old World War II veteran, professed faith in Christ that day, repenting of his sins, asking Jesus to save him. Mom was thrilled because we'd been praying for Dad for many years. That same year, I learned that our old friend, Benny, had cancer and only had a few months to live. I stopped by his house to tell him about Jesus, as did several other people, but Benny didn't budge in his beliefs. Because he and my brother had often gone treasure hunting for Civil War relics, I decided to tell Benny a story. Benny, did you know that the Bible talks about treasure hunting and finding buried treasure?
Is that true?
Jesus told the story of a man who found treasure hidden in a field. So he sold everything he had to get enough money to buy the field.
Yeah, I guess I'd do that too.
I used to hunt for relics, but I never found one thing that I could take with me when I die. But I found treasure beyond my wildest dreams in the pages of this book, the Bible, God's Word. I found Jesus. For years I mocked him, my Savior.
You've changed all right, Lane.
You know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross between two thieves, at first they mocked him too. I mean, they're all three in agony, all three are dying. All three were beaten bloody and then nailed to wooden crosses with huge nails in their hands and feet. And there's Jesus, with a crown of thorns digging into his scalp, his blood flowing freely and a sign over his head that says, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Now, why doesn't he come down if he's king, if he's the Son of God? Because he was hanging there in our place, taking our punishment. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then one of the thieves realized who Jesus was and said, "We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And that one thief said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He called Jesus Lord, a simple but profound decision. And Jesus replied, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And that can be true for you, Benny. When you believe that you should have been on that cross because Jesus died for your sins. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you repent of your sins and ask his forgiveness?
I'm just not ready for that, Lane. but I'd like you to deliver my eulogy. You tell a good story.
I'll do that. But I want to know where you'll be spending eternity. That's your choice, your decision.
I'll think about it, and I'll let you know.
Hello?
Lane, it's Benny.
Yes, Benny.
Can you come over tonight? I need Jesus.
Yes, you do. I'll be right over.
Come at 7 o'clock.
That day, my brother called and asked me to help him feed the calves. So I left work early to make sure I'd get to Benny's house on time. Instead, the calves were loose and I had to help round them up, making me 15 minutes late. When I finally got to Benny's place, two young women were visiting him. Sorry I'm late, Benny. I had to help my brother corral his calves.
I'm glad you made it.
Benny, has anyone ever explained to you why you need Christ in your life in order to be in heaven?
Well, you did, Lane.
Nobody can tell you what you have to do to be in heaven.
Well, you act as if you don't believe this. Well, then, what do you believe?
I believe heaven is here on earth. Heaven is what you make of it.
Where'd you get that idea? What I believe comes from the Bible, and the Bible is based on factual evidence and testimony.
If that's what you believe, that's fine for you.
The Bible is full of sworn testimonies from those who were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ before and after his resurrection. What? Suppose you saw me pull out in front of another car causing an accident, and you told the trooper what you saw, but I called you a liar. Now, how would you feel about somebody lying about your testimony?
That would just be the way you perceived what happened.
You're saying there's no absolute right or wrong?
If you perceive it to be that way, then that's the way it is for you.
Then you don't believe in absolute truth.
I didn't say that. I said that's the way you believe.
Look, I haven't always felt this way. When I was in high school, Benny bought my liquor for me.
Yeah, that's right.
I've changed. I'm a born-again child of God.
Oh. Then you're just like Jesus.
I'm a son of God like Jesus, but with one big difference. He was born into the family of God, but I was adopted in.
Well, I just don't believe that a loving, caring God would ever send anyone to hell.
Well, we finally have something we can agree on. I don't believe God sends anyone to hell either. God lets you make that decision for yourself. If you choose to reject his son, Jesus Christ, then you'll receive the consequences. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Benny, you want me to leave?
No, no. That's why you're here, Lane.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
I sure do.
Would you like to receive him as your Lord and Savior?
I sure would.
Later that evening, the two women left. A couple days later, I went back to visit Benny.
Hey, Lane.
You were courageous by standing with me when those two women mocked me.
They make their own decisions. They're not mine.
Benny, you asked me to give the eulogy for you when the time comes. Can I tell about your salvation?
Yes.
Benny died a few days after that in February 2010. Some of Benny's family didn't want me to preach at his memorial service, so I told them I would just tell a story. I told the story of the two thieves on the cross that touched my friend Benny's heart and led to personal faith in Christ. Benny loved to search for hidden treasure, and in the end, he found the real treasure hidden in the Bible. But most people don't look there and never find God's hidden treasure of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Jesus explained knowledge of the holy this way. Recorded in John chapter 17, verse 3, he said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And I believe the Bible is the key that opens the door to every problem that you and I have in our lives today. And Jesus Christ is the door to eternal life. "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." It's your decision. I'm still running my construction company as well as farming, still unmarried, and still speaking to churches, proclaiming the good news of God's love. I want him to use every moment of my life for God's glory.
In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where is your heart, listening friend? If it's on the things of this world, you will lose out on eternal life, because no one can serve two masters. If you would like to have the greatest treasure of all, pray with us. Dear God, I confess that I am a sinner, and I repent for my sins against you. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and lives forevermore. Save me, Lord. Come into my life and change me. Make me like you. Thank you for your gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us know you prayed and we'll send you some helpful literature. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. A listener writes, "I am so afraid of the future. Thank God for your program." We are greatly encouraged by messages like that and hope you let the manager of this radio station know how much you appreciate Unshackled. This is program number 3182, heard in the true story of Lane Turner Part 2, where Howard Friedland, Michael Wallner, Peggy Roeder, Jamie Barron, and Joni Rushoff. Directed by Don Stroop. Original music, Ralph Colburn. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Don Badorf. Script, Kenitha Gabler. I'm Kim Rasmussen. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We love hearing from you, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.